how to build a godly home this morning. The welcome mat is out is the topic. It's interesting that you have that because there are mixed messages in our world about church and about Christians. And the mixed messages are, am I really welcome? And probably couldn't have found a better video, although it kind of scared me when that guy took off with that kid. I wonder what his parents thought. He started to run off going, hey, that's my son. But think about it. I know when I started out in youth ministry, I was pretty radical. Of course, I came from a background where I went to church as a kid, you know, and if you were the right person, you know, you got to go and do the right things in the right church. But as a kid, I went to a church that accepted anybody, but I'm not sure the church really even knew what it stood for because I never heard about God or Jesus as a kid. But now, you think about it, when I started out in youth ministry, my wife and I, we lived in right next to the church, or at least the youth center, in a parsonage. And we had a policy. Kids came to our house, teenagers came to our house all the time. And parents would always comment, we're sorry, Pastor. We'll tell our kids to leave you alone. They shouldn't be bothering you so much. I said, no, here's our policy. If the door is unlocked, they can come in. If the door is locked, that means go away. And our door was rarely locked. And kids would come over, and I mean just open the door, come on in, sit down, go to the fridge, get something to eat, turn on the television, visit, play games. But it was wide open. We were very warm and welcome and opening, and we learned over the years, maybe that was a little bit much, but you kind of get the idea that we ought to be open, and anybody could come by. Absolutely anybody could come over. And sometimes people wonder, am I really accepted? I mean, am I the right kind of person for church? And so I want to talk about the welcome mat being open. We've got our welcome mat here. As a kid, I put on the website a story about some three Boy Scouts that were going around soliciting donations for their troop. And as they were going along, they found the house covered in ivy. It had covered up pretty much and grown over all the windows, and no light got into the house, and there was a door there. And as the boys made their way up, they kind of decided who would knock on this door. And there were stories about this house. Maybe you had houses like that in your neighborhood. I know I did. And there were stories about who lived there. And the boys had to do rock, paper, scissors to see who would lose and knock on the door. And the one was chosen, and the boy reached up, and he firmly but softly tapped on the door, and he heard dogs barking, and there's everything moving towards the doorway, footsteps, loud, thunderous footsteps on a wooden floor, loud boots, and the boy shaking heard this, who is it, and what do you want? And they couldn't take it. They didn't wait. They turned around and ran about as fast as they could. Even though the doormat said welcome, they knew they weren't welcome at that door. And I remember as a kid, we had neighbors like that, that you just knew there wasn't much of a welcome. Well, the church can become like that. Sometimes the church is notorious for that. Well, we have a welcome mat. You know, anybody can come to church. But the minute people start showing up or they start talking about it, they hear things like, well, you need to do this to go, or maybe you ought to try doing that. When I talk to folks, they always say the same thing. Well, I don't know if I can go to church. I'm not ready yet. One of these days when I get my act together, when I get cleaned up like the fish, when I get my stuff together, I'll go to church. I don't know that you'd ever get ready for God. I don't know there's any of us that are going to clean up enough that God goes, finally, you're clean enough for me. God takes us just as we are. And that's good news this morning. And as we talk about that, talking about these mixed messages that the church sends, here's the deal. Not only do we ask the question this morning, is his house ready for everybody? But is your house ready for him? If we're going to have godly homes, it's not a question of, am I ready for God's house? How about this? Is God ready to come into my house? And so if we're going to build godly houses, I kind of wonder what the signs are. The mixed message is welcome, but beware of dogs. Welcome, but we're going to shoot the trespassers. I remember canoeing in Wyoming, going down the North Platte River, and there was a house, and it had this sign outside on the river. They had a fence out there and said, warning, trespassers will be shot. Survivors will be shot again. And I thought, okay, let's not land on their beach because we won't survive this landing. And you kind of wonder about that. The church says, welcome everybody. But you know, to be honest with you, in our world today, I think there are signs like this. Good luck going to that church. I sure hope you can survive. And I run into it everywhere I go. I mean, even here in Port Huron it happens. There are people who just aren't surviving churches. I meet people almost on a monthly basis that say, well, I went to this church. I'm going to come try your church. Well, why are you trying our church? What was wrong with your church? Well, I just didn't feel welcome there. Or this happened. And it's like, wow, survivors are being shot. You know, you just wonder if people are even going to be able to do this church thing. Well, Zacchaeus, the story in Luke is perfect. It's about a man who wonders, am I really welcome into God's house? But more than that, is God welcome into my house? And so this morning, it's not so much, can you go to church? Listen, anybody can go to church. You can find a place where anybody can go. There's enough churches that you can dress in shorts, you can dress in three-piece suits, you can sing quiet, you can sing not at all, you can swing from the chandeliers. There's places you can go in and never have anybody ask you your name. There's places you can go in and you can't get out without about 30 hugs. There's any kind of church that you want. So I'm sure you can go to God's house. The question is this, can God come and live in your house? I think that's a better question because we're talking about building godly homes. And today, we're just about done. We have one more week left, and it's going to be sad to have to tear this thing down, but it's all painted, looking nice. It looks inviting except for the mixed messages. And I wonder about mixed messages. In this story, we find three mixed messages. It says in chapter 19, the first message is, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. He was passing through. The first sign on the wall, I guess, would have to be, do not disturb. You ever see those signs? Do not disturb. It's interesting that a man like Jesus is walking through a town like Jericho, and he doesn't have any plans. He's just passing through. Does anybody find that odd? That he doesn't have dinner plans, lunch plans? He's not meeting with the mayor? That someone goes, hey, this is that guy that's, you know, changing the world. He's healing dead people. He's healing the sick. He's walking on water. He's just passing through towns and he has no plans at all. I find that interesting. He's passing through. More interesting, I find it, the same Jesus in our own lives might be just passing through. He has no plans in your life. If he's just, I mean, we have the signs. I love that they had on that old Thunderbird car, they had the fish sign. I don't know if everybody here is aware of what that fish sign is. It's actually a Christian symbol that people carry. It comes from the New Testament. When the Christians were being persecuted by the Romans, they were being put to death. They were being fed to lions. They were being sawn in half. They were being boiled alive. They were being tarred and lit on fire for Nero's pool parties. These are the kind of things that were taking place in 50, 60, 70 AD after Christ had been resurrected. And so as a Christian, and so if I didn't want to give up my life, I'd meet someone and say, oh, you're a Christian. And rather than saying, are you a Christian, and taking that chance, they would draw a little line in the sand, an arch. And if the other person was a Christian, they would finish that symbol, which is ichthus, which is five Greek letters, ichthus, Jesus Christ, Son of God. And so they would draw the symbol of ichthus in the sand, saying, yes, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And they would say, great, all right, let's sit down and talk. It was neat that they had that on there. I see that on cars all the time. I almost ran into a lady that had that on her car when she was driving recklessly and cut me off in traffic. I literally just about ran into her because when she cut me off, I could barely stop the car. And I was like, I can't believe it. Women drivers. And I know I shouldn't say that. Nothing about women drivers. I should have said, a woman driver. And she was, it just happened to be, and she cut me off, and I about hit her. And then I noticed on her bumper a fish. And I went, oh, Christian, well, we just about had fellowship. And she was just driving. And then I watched her. She was all over the road, being rude, not signaling, cutting people off. And I thought, please take that off your car. Because my question is this. If the Bible says do unto others as you'd have to do unto them, then isn't it that I want to do for others and be polite and not be rude, and anything in my life ought to reflect that? Because what happens is Jesus is just passing through. He's not coming in, and that's what he's doing in Jericho. And the first sign that I think is a mixed message is this. I want Jesus. Jesus, I want you to pass through my life, but do not disturb my life. This ought to be worth the price of admission this morning. And if you didn't give, you come back for the second show. It'll be at 11. Isn't it true that Jesus Christ is a do not disturb for many people? Now listen to what I'm saying here. All of these people know who Jesus is. They've even seen his miracles. They live in Jericho. He's been there. He's done the circuit. They've gone to see him. Listen, it's not a far drive to Detroit if your favorite band or sports team is playing, and sometimes we do that. When Jesus Christ was in Galilee and other places, they went to see him. They know he's, and he's got no plans. Nobody has invited him in. He's just passing through. Oftentimes, as a Christian, I think if we want to have a godly house, we can't just have Jesus standing outside knocking on our door. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 says, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man does what? Opens the door." Well, I can open the door, but then it says, "and lets me in, I will enter in and have supper with him," or sup with him. And the word means I will come in and be a part of his life. Because when you have food with people, you can't get rid of them. You feed someone, they're coming back. It's true. There's some good food. Our home group, we keep coming back to our home group because there's some good cooks in our home group. Tonight we have home group and it's Italian night. Oh, yeah. Yeah, see, already you're saying, how do I get in that home group? Hey, start your own. Why do I keep going back? Because there's good food. And Jesus said, look, you invite me in and you feed me and I feed you, you're going to want this. Listen, this is going to be a relationship. But so many times we just have him passing through. And God says, I don't want to just pass through your town. I don't want to just pass through your house. I don't want to just pass through your church. I want to come in. I want to be a part of it. And so right here we have this sign. The first mixed signal that churches and houses have is, do not disturb. Hey, I'm a Christian. I'm your neighbor. Anytime you need help, just let me know. Oh, great. It's our neighbors. Do not disturb. All of a sudden we send these mixed signals in our lives. And people look at us and go, wait a minute. If anybody ought to be there, it ought to be someone who says, I claim Jesus as my Savior. Driving down the road and you see a car broke down, if anybody ought to stop to help out, if anybody ought to, it's someone who understands being broken down in their own lives. If anybody is hurting in their lives, in their marriage, or living together and having a baby and not married, or into goth and then maybe into drugs or smoking and saying, oh, I don't know if I should help them. If anybody ought to help them, it ought to be someone who understands what it means to be a sinner and who's been saved, and that God doesn't look upon my sins and go, oh, your sins. No, so why am I looking on anybody else's sins and going, oh, your sins? That'll preach. And so mixed signals, do not disturb. You know why we don't want God to disturb us? We want him to pass through because it's nice to have a pastor. Are you a Christian? Sure. Look at my signs. I have an ichthus. I have a fish on my car. I have a cross on my necklace. I have a tattoo on my arm. I have a t-shirt that says, you know, bench press this, God's gym. I have all of the Christian stuff because God has passed through my life. But have I taken him in? You know what happens if you let God disturb your life? He disturbs your life. Have you ever had someone at a mealtime and they kind of interrupt and they start getting into your life and they start talking to you thinking, oh, this is going to be a long dinner. God wants to get involved in our lives, but the problem is we start a conversation. The next thing you know, he's staying the night. Sorry, we just invited you for dinner. We didn't invite you to stay the night. The next thing you know, if he stays the night, he's moving in. And once he moves in, good luck getting him out of your house. He's in. I don't know if you've ever had that. You can't get him out. God wants to do that in our lives. I remember, speaking of that, my wife and I had a situation. My wife and I have had lots of situations. But my wife and I had a situation a few years ago. We got a chance to take our honeymoon, which was wonderful. And we went to Hawaii, which was even more beautiful. We got two free tickets to fly to Hawaii. Now, that's why we took our honeymoon in Hawaii, okay? And I said, great, all you have to do is get a hotel. I couldn't believe it. We are going to Hawaii. I mean, aloha, malala, hawaii, whatever it is. And I couldn't wait. I mean, to get off the airplane and go, the ocean, scuba diving, swimming with, I mean, everything, the volcanoes. We got on an airplane. It's a 10-hour flight, broken up by one stop in Seattle. We got on the plane in Detroit, and I thought, all right, I'm going to rest. I sat down in one of these gigantic airplanes. Three sections in this airplane, separated by big screen TVs in each section. Five seats in the middle, four seats on each side, two rows. We sat in the second section, the second row. And we sat down, and I said, look at this, we have five seats to ourselves. There's hardly anybody in this section. The big screen's one seat in front. This is great for 5 hours. And in walks this family with their children, many of them. They were from the Middle East. They spoke English, but it was broken, and they spoke their own language very well, which they spoke a lot, for 5 hours, with their children screaming. And I thought, could you not sit anywhere else? And I'm looking around going, there's all kinds of other areas in this plane section. So as we landed in Seattle, they got up. And I said, yes, they must be getting off. But no, they moved back to another section with some friends of theirs who got on. I said, look at this. Now we have the entire section, and more people got off, and we almost had the entire middle area to ourselves. I said, I'm going to rest for the next 5 hours. Didn't happen. Oh, no. Two people got on the plane in our section. Two. That's it. Two. There were probably 50, 60 seats they could have sat in easily in our section. Where did they sit? There were Susan and I and three empty seats to which I was going to sprawl out with a blanket and sleep for 5 hours. No, they sat there. The two of them, this young couple. And I said, you've got to be kidding me. I wanted to say, could you please, maybe we'll go ahead and move then. We'll just go ahead and move. And then the plane began to fill up a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. And I thought, where are all these people coming from? Great, we're going to have to stay here. They're all going to Hawaii, and I'm annoyed. I got up to go use the restroom before we took off, and I just thought, great, let's just sleep. Let's not talk to them. Let's not do anything. I came back, and my wife is deep in conversation. And I thought, what are you doing talking to these people? And she's over there, oh, really? Hey, Mitch, this is my husband. He's a pastor. And I thought, oh, great, now they're going to want to talk about Jesus and God the entire trip. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, but when I'm on vacation, can anybody relate to this? You're thinking, I hope you're not going to go home and think, well, the pastor went on vacation, he didn't want to talk about God. No, I do want to talk about God. I want to talk about how God created that volcano and that ocean and that beach I was going to lay out on. And if people want to talk, that's fine. But my wife started this conversation. And they just kept going. And then they started laughing. I thought, oh, no, now they're going to get chummy. We're going to have a five-hour conversation. And we did. But it turned out a little bit different. It wasn't do not disturb. It was, wow, this is great. My wife said, this is my husband, Mitch. Now, Mitch, this is Brian and Nicole. And Brian's like, hey, good to meet you. And we shake hands, and he says, hey, I'm a youth sponsor at my church. I said, hey, I'm a youth pastor at my church. Oh, that's great. He said, I just got back from a mission trip in Nicaragua. I said, I just got back from a mission trip in Nicaragua. Hey, that's pretty good. For 5 hours, he and I were like this. Oh, yeah, forget the women. We were just going like this. We got off the plane. He says, hey, we're here. This is our third time in Hawaii, in Maui. If you guys want to know anything about the island, we'll tell you all about it. Well, we're not sure. You know, we're kind of on our honeymoon, you know, after 20 years of marriage. We've never really had a honeymoon. And, oh, no problem. Don't worry about it. But anything you guys need, here's a number where we're staying. And just give us a call. We got off the plane, and we're walking, and they were walking with us. And we walked over to our car rental place, and they walked with us to our car rental place. And they said, hey, this is our car rental place. Hey, this is our car rental place. They got a green convertible Jeep, four-wheel drive. We got a green convertible Jeep, four-wheel drive. We said, hey, that's kind of fun. Hey, that's kind of fun. That night, we sat up thinking, hey, should we call them? We called them, and we hung out all week. We climbed volcanoes together. We hiked in bamboo forests. We went diving together. We did everything together that week. We became very, very close friends. We still talk to them today. They came up and visited us for a weekend. They just adopted a little girl, beautiful little girl from a foreign country. They are a wonderful, wonderful family. And they've become very good friends of ours because we allowed our lives to be interrupted. Instead of do not disturb, my wife got me out of my comfort zone, which might sound strange. And we found two very good friends that we thought that we would have never had I sat quietly. It's amazing, I think, what God can do in our lives when we don't just let him pass through but come in and have a conversation with him. If you'll allow him into your life and say, you know what, I was planning on really sitting this one out, God, but okay, let's sit down and talk. If you'll do that in your life, I want you to know that God will show you things and do things in your life that you never expected him to do, because God is that way in our lives. He does want to interrupt us. Don't send mixed signals. God may be sending something in your life. God may be sending a miracle in your life, going, oh, welcome. Hey, I've got special delivery. Go away. Okay, and God goes away. I wonder how many things we've missed out on in our lives because we haven't allowed God to sit down and do what he wants to do in us and through us. All that from verse 1. Jesus was passing through. Do not disturb. The second one is this. I love this one. No trespassing. And we mean no trespassing. I don't know if you've ever trespassed in your life. As a kid, I was very, very good at that. But look what the Bible goes on to say. It says that Zacchaeus was a tax collector. He wanted to see Jesus. How many in here want to see Jesus this morning? I want to see Jesus. Are you willing to do what it takes? Look what he does. It says, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. Two things in his life. One, his own inability. Two, the crowd inability. Sometimes we have people around us keeping us from Jesus. Sometimes it's just ourselves because we can't see him. But look what he does. Verse 4. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him because Jesus is coming that way. I have one question. What's a businessman doing climbing trees? You ever think about that? He's climbing a tree. When's the last time you saw a CEO from First Citizens Bank downtown? You go down to Pine Grove Park and you look up and you go, hey, what are you doing up there? And a guy in a three-piece suit's up in a tree going, nothing, I'm just climbing trees. When's the last time you climbed a tree? I thought about that this week as I was preparing. I thought, well, actually, for me, it hasn't been all that long. I love climbing trees. Trees call my name. I see a tree ever since I was a little boy. Trees would call my name. Some of you can relate to this. I've heard stories of some of you guys climbing trees and roofs and things you've done as kids. I love trees. I used to hook ropes through my belt loop and take the rope and throw it up over the highest branch I could find and grab the other end and pull myself up. And then when I got to that branch, I would throw it to the next tree. And in California, we had some very tall trees. You probably heard of some of the trees in California, like redwoods and things like that. We had some big, big trees, all kinds of trees, oak trees and rubber plant kind of trees. And we would climb trees. I would climb any tree I could. I remember one day I went to climb a tree. I had my bicycle chain lock wrapped through my belt loops because it was strong enough to hold me. I didn't want anything to break. I tied a rope, threw it over a tree in my front yard. One of my dad's police officer friends came by the house, he and his wife, to visit. They saw it. They said, what are you doing? I said, I'm climbing this tree. Oh, let me help you. And he grabbed the other end, and he pulled me halfway up, and he tied the rope off. I'm dangling in the tree. Oh, this is great. Now I got to pull myself up. I waited for a passerby to let me down, which they were more than happy to cut the rope. Of course, as a kid, it wasn't that high, and the grass was soft, okay? But as a kid, I loved to climb trees. They called my name. But you don't see adults climbing trees because adults don't climb trees unless there's something worth climbing for. And can I tell you something this morning? If you're willing to climb a tree, I was reading about this. Why did this businessman climb a tree? Matthew Henry in his commentary said this. I wonder if Zacchaeus climbed the tree, not just because he was a short man, as my wife said, pointed out to me this week. She said, well, it's because he was short and he couldn't see him. I said, well, all he had to do was go to the rooftop of the houses. That's where the living room was of most houses, and look right down upon it. He climbed a tree. Could it have been that he climbed a tree because Jesus earlier had said, unless you become like little children, you can't see the kingdom of heaven? And all of a sudden, Zacchaeus got a childlike heart, climbed a tree, and sat up there looking at the Savior of the world. I wonder when the last time you became childlike in your heart just to see the Son of God. You see, it's not just enough to say, no trespassing, you're not welcome. And that's what was happening here, no trespassing. Zacchaeus, no trespassing. And so go out on a limb. I think we need to do like Zacchaeus. Could you just see him up there holding on? Now, if you're not skilled at climbing trees and you don't like heights, if you get up in a tree and you get out on a limb, you're probably not going to just jump up there, grab some things, and get out there and kind of shimmy out there and jump and say, oh, I can reach that branch and jump and swing on that and swing yourself down to the next one, unless you're like Jim Wilson or someone like that. You're probably not going to do that, okay? I've seen him climb when we wired this place up. He says, oh, I'll just run across these pipes. And there he went. I said, now, I couldn't do that. I'd be out there kind of on the edge of the branch, holding on a little bit further, a little bit further. Okay, that's far enough. And then you start hearing the crackling of the branch. You know, that's me. Zacchaeus climbs out on the edge because he goes out on a limb because he wants to see Jesus. What will you be doing to go out on a limb, to make others feel welcome, to have Jesus into your life? Because we do need to go out on a limb. These people were not letting, this guy was not welcome. Let's do a little, real quick, just history glance. He's a tax collector. He's not like your tax man. He's not H&R Block. He's not out at the mall in 30 minutes or less. We'll have your taxes done. That's not Zacchaeus. Here's how he makes his living. You owe the Romans. You hate the Romans. The Romans have come in and they've taken over the country, and you're paying taxes to Caesar. He is, listen, this is even more than your house taxes here in Michigan, which are probably going to go up, and your business taxes here in Michigan, which are probably going to go up. And they want to pay off the debt, so they want to raise other taxes, so they'll probably go up. You kind of get the idea. You get a little frustrated at taxes. And gasoline, that may even go to $5 a gallon because of all the taxes, it may go up this summer. You're kind of getting the idea. You get a little irritated. Zacchaeus says this, okay, how do I make my money? The more I can tax you, the more money I make. I only get money when I tax you more than what you owe Caesar. So I'll take your $20, but you're going to pay me $30 today. And if you say, no, I'm not, all he has to do is go. Even though he's a Jew, he's working for the Romans. Roman soldiers come up and go, you're going to jail because I have that power. You're going to give me $30 or go to jail. Okay, Zacchaeus, here's $30. Hey, I really want to do well today. You'll give me $40. You'll give me $30 because I know how your business is going. Oh, you're going to give me $100, young man, because I know how your business is going. I know I'm paying Caesar $20, but I'm making $80 off of you. And you, it's going to be $200. And this is what he would do with his life. You think people hated this guy? Absolutely. He's a traitor for one. Ripping off his own people for two, and he didn't care that Jesus is coming. And when they say no trespassing, it's for guys like Zacchaeus. You're not welcome in this group. How many people you know like that that go, I'd like to go to church someday, but I'm just not welcome in that group? And I say we've got to have open houses and open arms to people. The church ought to have not mixed messages, but we ought to let people come in and we ought to allow them to go in. And we need to climb out on a limb. Zacchaeus was willing to climb out on a limb to see Jesus. I've been willing in my life to climb out on a limb for what? Just simply because it was there. It's a tree. What are you willing to climb a limb out on for? I read a story this week that really caught my attention. There's a little girl named Susan and her parents had died. And she was abandoned. She was just left. I mean, nothing. And so she was put into an orphanage years ago. As a little girl, one day she's out on the playground with all the other kids, feeling alone as she did, and abandoned, and nobody wanted her. She went out to the playground, and here's what happened. She abandoned without love. She was noticed climbing a tree just outside the playground of the orphanage. She made her way out to a branch. Climbed out on a limb where she hung a note with a string. Can you get the picture of this little girl out there? Maybe ratty hair that hasn't been brushed too well. Maybe a little dirty from playing in the playground. Her clothes are old. And she climbs up on this tree and makes her way out on a branch with a little kite string. She ties a note. After the little girl climbed back down in the tree and returned to the playground, the director made her way down the sidewalk outside the orphanage to the tree where the paper hung. She went over and she took the note, broke the string, and she took the note and she opened it. And she began to read it. And tears began to fill up in her eyes. And here's what it said. From Susan, to anyone who finds this letter, I love you. That's all it said. This little girl just wanted people to know that they were loved. The one thing that this girl wanted more than anything else in the world was to be loved. And since nobody loved her, she just wanted to love someone. And she climbed out on a limb to let some strange passerby have a note to say, from Susan, to anyone who finds this letter, I love you. Little Susan climbed a tree to say, there's nothing in this world I want more than love. Zacchaeus climbed up on a tree to say, I have everything this world has to offer except love. And Jesus climbed up on a tree and he said, all I have in this world is love, and I give it all to you. And he hung on a tree. Have you climbed a tree? Being a tree, I think, would be easy. Being a savior on a tree, I think, would be hard. I go out on a limb for people. Have you gone out on a limb for anyone? And it says here, Zacchaeus, because of the crowd, he climbed a tree so that he could see Jesus. Have you climbed a tree lately? Or does the tree sign say, no trespassing? I think we get afraid of climbing trees. I don't want to go there. You know what the sign says? No trespassing. Violators will be shot. As a Christian, the world says, keep your Christianity to yourself. And you know what we've done since 1968? We have taken Christianity and we said, you're right, we should keep Christianity to ourselves. And Christianity has done this. And we've stepped kind of back into the church and we've kind of gotten real quiet with it. And you know what's happened since 1968? Crime has gone through the roof. Children don't feel safe. The deficit has skyrocketed. The world has become a better place. And I say, let the church get out and go trespass. Let us trespass. Because God trespassed. Jesus Christ came to a world that said, no trespassing. The devil posted signs everywhere and said, no trespassing. In fact, trespassers won't be shot, they'll be hung. And they hung him for trespassing. What was his crime? What did he do so bad? What was his trespass? Here's what his trespass was. His trespass was, I love you, and I want to do everything that I can for you. You're sick, let me heal you. You're poor, let me give you something to eat. You're hungry, you're naked, let me clothe you. You need some arms to love you, let me put my arms around you. That was his trespass. And no wonder why he said, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. His only crime was love, and they nailed him for it because the sign said no trespassing. And the world has said to us, at least to me, I don't know if they've said it to you, they've said to me as a Christian, no trespassing, Pastor. Keep your religion to yourself. And I say, you know what? If my crime is love, then put me in jail. Because a tree is worth climbing. I will go out on a limb. Because Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. The world wants to see Jesus. He's welcome in my house. And if it means I'm going to have a godly house, then so be it. May my house be godly. Because I want the world to see love. The last sign, not only is it no trespassing, not only is it do not disturb, but I love this one right here. Beware of dog. You know what's funny about this? Usually, most of the time when you see beware of dog, you know what kind of dogs there are? Those little, mop dogs. Yeah. Yeah, I love mop dogs. I don't have a mop dog. If you have a mop dog, God bless you. I know you probably don't sleep at night. I know, maybe your dog's better. Most mop dogs I know, yipe, 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 yipe. I have one of those dogs that goes, woof. So when you know he barks, you know, and it's one time and then it's done. It's one and done. And then we just throw the shock collar on him. You know, there's signs in the church that say, beware of dogs. And listen to what happens in the scriptures. Zacchaeus only wants one thing. He wants to see Jesus. Jesus wants to have dinner with Zacchaeus. I love that. I love the idea that Jesus says, you know who I came for? You. Hey, Zacchaeus, come down from that tree. Look at you. Look at you in your three-piece suit. Man, would the board of directors be amazed that they've invested money into a man who climbs fig trees? Get out of that tree. Let's have lunch. And the whole crowd's going. The mayor, the townsfolks, the businessmen and women. Not one of them invited him in. And Zacchaeus is having lunch with the Savior of the world. I would love to have the Savior of the world stop by Lowton Drive and have lunch with my family. What would we talk about? Oh, the conversations that we would have. What would you talk about with the Savior of the world? Lunch at your house. He says, Zacchaeus, come out of that tree. Look at you. Look at you in that tree. Come here. We'll climb a tree later on. Get down. And he comes down out of that tree. He's brushing the bark off. I don't know, maybe there was some sap on there. He's got it all over his suit. He doesn't care. He'll buy another one. He's got 10 just like it at home. Silk suits, and I mean, he looks good. And he goes home. He gets into his house. He's got a nice, nice house. He's got servants. They get a meal ready. He sits down. They're having dinner. They've got room in the courtyard. There's these people going, What's going on? There's paparazzi out there because it says this. Listen to verse 7. All the people did what? They muttered. They murmured. There's a lot of muttering going on. They're murmuring. What are they saying? What's he doing at his house? Look at that. They're trying to get pictures. Look over there. What do you see? Here, give me a boost. They're looking into the house. They're looking through the windows. They're having lunch. And Zacchaeus is sitting at the table with his booster chair. My imagination might be overactive, but he's sitting in his chair, okay? And he's sitting there with Jesus, and he's looking in the window, and he's like, yeah, he's at my house. You've never been to my house. Now look, everybody's at my house. Wow. Wow. Beware of dogs. Oh, you're at my house now. Hey, Zacchaeus, how you doing? Hey, can we have lunch together? Could you imagine the people inviting themselves in to have lunch? Hey, Zacchaeus, you're a great guy. Oh, now I'm a great guy. No wonder why the sign says, beware of dogs. Because when people see that you've got something that they want, all of a sudden now they're friendly. Or if they have something that you want, hey, you need to come to my church. You're a rich man. You need to come to my church and give. I remember when I tried to get Michael Jordan to come to my church. It's true. Three times. He lived right down the road from us in Alabama when he was playing baseball. And I had the opportunity. I met guys. I met a guy. He says, hey, he comes into my bar. I was golfing with a guy, talking to him. He says, oh, you're a pastor? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, I'm a bartender. Oh, great, great, great. He says, hey, Michael Jordan comes into my bar all the time and shoots pool, just him and a couple guys. I can set it up. You want to shoot some pool with him? Love to. Three different times I tried to get Michael Jordan to come to my church. Why? I know what my true motive was, because it was a brand new church. We had like 60 people, and could you imagine Michael Jordan coming to church at that time? I mean, it was like, oh, this church is going to grow. Even if it doesn't grow, we're going to be rich, just the tithe. Yeah, just make it out to Mitch Olson Ministries, Hoover Community Church. Just your tithe. I had all that motive in my heart. I really did, and God checked me. This was years ago, and God checked me in my spirit and said, what do you want Michael Jordan for? I said, are you kidding me? He's got hang time. This guy can free throw, hang time. God says, you want hang time? I've got hang time. And I went, oh. He says, you think I need people to do things? He says, I just need faith. And God really checked my spirit, and Zacchaeus found this out in his own life. All these people coming around going, hey, can we come in? They're looking through the windows. There's Zacchaeus. But God, here's the sign. Beware of dog. And here's the beware of dog. And they were muttering. They were muttering. That may not even be a real word, but they were muttering. And what were they saying? I can't believe it. They even tell us. He is gone to be the guest of a sinner. Oh, sinners. You know that guy smokes? You know she's not even married and she's having a kid? Do you know that that guy, I've seen him in the bar. That always gets me. How'd you see him? I just drove by. I peeked in. You get arrested for that. He's with sinners? Yes, he is. He's with sinners all the time. Come on over to my house, Jesus. I could use you. I could use a little help. And Jesus goes in. No wonder why it says, beware of dogs. Can I tell you, the church is full of dogs. It is. No wonder why the world has a hard time getting saved. Because they're getting barked at all the time. Clean your act up. Clean your act up. What? It's true. Well, if you get the right suit and you get the right clothes and you walk the right way and you look the right way, come on over to Grace Ministry Center. And God said, didn't Jesus say, but the kingdom of heaven is not about food and clothing? Yeah, I'm sure he said that. And so we dress and we act and we tell people to clean their act up. And there's these mixed signals. And there's these stupid mixed signals. And you know what? Forget, beware. I don't know whose that was, but I owe you for that, okay? And they say, beware of dogs. You know, the Bible says that we ought to be the golden guest. And Zacchaeus was sitting in his chair, and he was king for the day. He was the golden guest. I did this in CIA. It's a strategetic. That's a leadership training that I've done over 20 years with students. And I always talk about the golden guest. Whoever's in your life, make sure that they're the most important person in your life. They're the golden guest. When someone comes to your house, they are the golden guest. They get the best seat. Make sure they're served first. Make sure that they are the ones that you serve. If you treat people that way, you will treat people the way Jesus wants to treat us. And if we bring him into our lives, we ought to be the golden guest. It's interesting that the Bible says, hey, if people, when you go to town, it says, look, he said to his disciples, when you go to a town, don't take food with you. Don't take clothing. Don't take an extra coat. Just take what you have. Don't even take extra food. When you go into a town and the people there say, hey, I'm here for Jesus. And the people there say, oh, come on into our house. And they welcome you into their house. It says, when you go into that house, bless that house. Lord, may this house be blessed. Let your spirit of love and peace be on this house. It says, but if they don't receive you, if they say you're a Christian, nope. He says, take your shoes, take them off, your sandals, and I want you to shake the dust from them. And here's what they used to do. They used to take the sandals, literally, they'd take them off after someone would say, oh, you're not welcome here. Hi, I'm in town, and I just want to let you know I'm here to just let people know that God loves them. And he says, if people there don't want to receive you, just walk away, take your sandals off when you get out of town, and shake the dust. And they would do this. What it meant was that dust showed that these people, even though they said they're Christians, by the way, it's not just door to door. This says if you go to church, if you go to Christian churches and they don't accept you, then take the dust and start smacking the sandals. And as the dust comes down, it says, that dust represents you. And you are just like the Gentiles, the unbelieving heathen who hate God. You are just like them because you didn't receive me. And he used the word apotasimo. That's the Greek word. It means to shake the dust. Apotasimo, shake the dust. He uses it in another word where a man says, I want to follow you, Jesus. And he's got dust on his sandals and he's following Jesus and walking. And Jesus says, you want to follow me? Come on, follow me. And the guy's following him. And then he says, oh, wait a minute. I'll be right back. He says, where are you going? Now, I'm paraphrasing. He says, I've got to go back and bury my father. What he meant was his father was sick and dying and I got to go take care of him. And as soon as that happens, a month or a year, I'll come follow you. And Jesus says, you can't follow me ever. And he walks away. Now, some of you think, well, that's cruel. It's not cruel. What he was saying is this word apotasimo. And he's saying, look, you're going to go back, and you're going to start going back to your old ways, and you're going to forget all about the promise that you made to me. You're not going to come follow me. You're going to forget about me and not fulfill your promise. Either fulfill your promise now. And he says, let the dead bury the dead. That's an interesting word. And what he's using is a metaphor. And he's saying, look, you used to have a dead house and a dead life. Let the dead bury the dead. I'm giving you life. Follow me. Let life come into your house and not go back to a dead house. It's a metaphor. And some people go, wait a minute. Can I bury the dead? What if my family's sick? Don't misunderstand that scripture. You take care of your family, and of course you bury those who are dying, and you love them. What he was saying metaphorically is, when you have death in your house, and I'm offering you life in your house, don't go back and walk, or you can't follow me. Shake the dust. Shake the dead stuff off your feet, and start having life again. But so many people want to go back to the dead house instead of the live house. And I hope that makes sense to you, because the sign says, beware of dogs. There are people, and didn't Jesus say that? The dog returns to its what? It's vomit. Yeah. Don't go back. Beware of dogs. Don't live like this. As Christians, God has given us life. And I love this. And it says, finally, it says, he received him gladly. It says that he received him gladly. The word gladly is a beautiful word. Let me explain it to you. It's real simple. It means joy. It's the word charon. It's where we get the word charismatic from. You answer the door and you go, yes, hi. Who's the guy from Publisher Clearinghouse Sweepstakes? Ed McMahon is at the door knocking. He says, you've just won $15 million. That's what this word means. It means you have just received something so valuable, and you're like, your joy that comes out of that, it's used 9 times in the New Testament. It means a joy that's just absolutely elated. As if somebody just walked up and says, hi. Hi, come on into my house. Your house? Here, $15 million. You just won. $15 million. Imagine somebody walking up today and handing you $15 million. This is the word that it says, he received Jesus like he was receiving that kind of stuff. The richest. No wonder why he said, everything I give, if I've ripped you off and you off and you off and all these people looking in the window, he says, I'll give you back 4 times what I stole from you. Because he knew what he was giving away wasn't near as valuable as what he was getting. And when you have Jesus in your house, you realize what's really valuable in your home. Mixed signals. The church, our houses, our lives sometimes send mixed signals. Let me finish it up this way and then we'll pray. I went to Orlando several years ago as a youth pastor. And I got there to a youth pastor's convention. There were about 250, 300 youth pastors there. We were in one of the most beautiful hotels, 2 hotels that stood tall in the sky. And down below was a gigantic 3-story glass atrium. And outside of that were jacuzzis and swimming pools and palm trees. This is a great way to finish as you go out into the snow. It was about 85 degrees, and we had our convention there for 3 days. On the second day, we noticed that there was a huge group of women in one of the convention halls, a couple thousand women. And I saw a sign that says, Southern Baptist Women's Convention. Welcome here. Welcome here. Some buddies of mine, we were eating in a sub shop in one of the little storefronts down in that atrium. And I had a different look at the time. I had just got done preaching a message about appearance and how we look. I dyed my hair blonde with a bunch of hair dye bleach things. I had these piercings in my ears. They weren't real, but my wife thought they were and didn't speak to me for a week. I had these piercings in my ears. I had a tattoo on my arm, one of these thorn things that I'd bought, and you stick them on. It looked good, too. It looked great. And so I walked into the line, and we're standing there, and I hear these 4 ladies in front of us, and I can hear them talking about the convention and how great it was. So I interrupt. I said, hey, are you ladies with that convention? And I thought I was going to have a little bit of fun. And so I was going to see if I can get them to witness to me and just talk to me about their faith. I said, so you're here with the convention. And they turned around and looked at me and gave me a sneer and didn't say a word and answer my question. So I said, hey, well, I'm here with the convention too. Yeah, right, one of them said. I said, no, really, I am. So you guys are with this Christian convention. What's it all about? And one lady turned around and she finally, because I kept just really trying to find out what it was. She said, look, knock it off. We know that you don't want to know about this. You're just making fun of us. I said, I'm not. Honestly, I want to know. I'm a pastor. And I got the, yeah, right. Yeah, that's what I got was the, yeah, right. I said, no, really, honestly, I am. I'm a Christian, too. So what's your convention all about? And the ladies turned around, and they were so irritated. They said, knock it off. Just leave us alone. I said, honestly, I just want to know about what this is all about and your faith, what you guys are here for. And they go, just knock it off, leave us alone. And I said, look, I honestly, I'm a Christian. They said, yeah, right. They wouldn't believe that I was a pastor or a Christian. And I said, listen, you want me to dissect a book of the Bible? Which book of the New Testament would you like me to paraphrase? What would you like me to quote? Say any scripture. I'll see if I know it. I said, ask me to discern something. Let me break down some Greek for you. I said, I have a degree in ministry. I've been a pastor for 10 years. Come on, I am a minister. They wouldn't believe it. I pulled out my wallet. Honestly, I pulled out of my wallet behind my driver's license where I keep my ordination certificate. I am an ordained minister, license, everything. I pulled out and I showed it to him. I said, look, I'm an ordained minister. And the ladies kind of looked at it. They passed around. They handed it back. And I'm not kidding. One of the gals said, yeah, anyone can make one of those. And I'm thinking, how many people sit around making these things? Is this a common black market? Ah, hey, $50. Here's your ordination papers. I couldn't believe it. And I walked away, and my friends were sitting over there. They were just dying laughing. I sat down and I said, they just blew me off. They don't believe I'm a Christian or a pastor. And they just looked at me and they said, well, look at you. I said, exactly. Look at me. Look at me. What are the requirements for God coming into my house? Isn't it simply because I've invited him in and opened the door? And so we have these mixed signals. Yeah, you can come to church. Good luck surviving our church. It's a deadly, brutal place. Trespassers. No trespassing? Yeah, no trespassing. Beware of dogs. Never mind the dog. Beware of the owner. And we have all these mixed signals. And you know what Jesus does? He comes along and he takes our signals and he throws them right out. And he says, tell you what, how about we all just go out on a limb today? How about all of us just go tie a note on the end of a tree branch and let the world know, whoever comes by, just wanted you to know something. I love you. And I think the world would be a better place. You know what? You want a godly home? Don't let Jesus just pass by. Go ahead and invite him in. But just know this. If you invite him in, he's probably going to stay a while. And you'll have a hard time getting rid of him. But when the time comes, you'll be thankful that you invited him in. Because that's a godly home. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word to us today. Lord, this is your church, Grace Ministry. You gave it birth.